Well, kia ora, hello and welcome to the Coast Vineyard Podcast. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, it's so good to have you listening in. We hope and pray that wherever you may find yourself at today, that the message that you're about to hear would be helpful for your journey of faith. So, without further ado, let's get into this week's message. Great to be in church, isn't it? Hey, if we haven't met, my name's Stanley, by the way, one of the pastors on the team here. And today we're carrying on in our summer series. So we like to do these at the start of the year to kind of shorten the service down a little bit. But also just as we enter into the year, you know, just try and catch wind of what it is that God might be inviting us into. And so a couple of weeks ago, David Warren, if you're here, was speaking about Sabbath. This invitation that God had was fantastic. Last week, Caitlin was talking about just stirring us in our hunger for God, you know, and a great challenge at this time of the year. Next week, we're going to wrap up the series. We're going to have communion together for the first time this year, and Jake's going to be preaching, and I know that it's going to be a fantastic morning to be a part of, to make sure that you're here. But today, I want to lead sort of on very much so from what Caitlin was talking about last week. And I actually just want to ask you a very straightforward but probing question. And I think it's a question that at this time of year just sort of lends itself well for us to take a step back and just to ask ourselves and to ask God sort of as we're entering and settling into the year. And the question is just simply this. What do you have faith for this year? What do you have faith for this year? Father, we pray that you would stir our hearts again and stir faith in us again. Lord, however we may be entering into this year where we maybe feel like our faith is high or our faith is low or whatever, Lord, we thank you for these rhythms that you give us to help us to reset, to refocus, and go again. And so we pray, Father, that you would stir faith in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story doing the rounds on social media, at least in my algorithms at the moment, which is about the golfer Arnold Palmer. Confession, I don't know why my algorithms pick up a golfer. Don't know anything about golf. Don't know who Arnold Palmer is, but apparently he's a bit of a legend. Golfers? Okay. Back me up here. So the story goes that the king of Saudi Arabia invited Arnold Palmer to come and play at this brand new golf club in the desert of Saudi. And so he invites him over, he comes, he plays this round of golf. And then afterwards, they're having this lavish dinner together, and a whole bunch of specially invited guests and so forth. And the king is sort of making his way around the room and talking to various people. And he gets to Palmer, and he sort of says, you know, thank you for coming and helping us to, you know, get this this underway and everything. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? And Palmer apparently is sort of taken off guard, wasn't kind of expecting the question in any way, so he sort of has a little mini panic moment like you do in those conversations when someone asks you something and they actually require something of you and you hadn't thought about it. And so he kind of thinks for a second, then comes back and says, oh, well, you know, a club would be nice. And sort of the king said, oh, very well, it's cool. He probably didn't say it's cool, but he said very well. Carried on talking to other guests and so forth, and Palmer went back home. Some weeks passed. He was thinking about this conversation, this little interaction that he had with the king, and probably thought, well, the king's super busy, would have, you know, forgotten about it. But if he did remember about it, I don't know, like maybe like a gold-plated you know, club would come, or maybe a whole set, or, you know, what, I don't know. Anyway, more weeks go past, but then there's this envelope in the letterbox that arrives, big envelope, and the return to sender address is from the king of Saudi Arabia. And he's like, whoa, okay, so he's really excited about it. He rushes inside, he opens up the envelope, And inside, to his surprise, is the deed to a 500-acre golf club. Now, you can do a bit of fact-checking to know if that story's true or not, but I'll let you do that. But the point remains that Palmer, who asked the question, had his question interpreted by a king based on his resources and his perspective, his big thinking. As we enter into the year, we start taking a step back and thinking, well, what do I have faith for? It's important for us to remember who it is that we are praying to, who it is that we are asking of for these specific, particular things within our lives. The King of Kings, God Himself, who loves to answer according to His resources and His perspectives. Now, I know that having faith for particular things has got some trickiness to it, you know? That as we, and it's actually really easy for us to sort of, as we go through, particularly if we've been Christians for a while, to sort of just, we go through and we can become complacent really easily, you know? We get a little bit comfortable in the place that we're at, or we have some disappointments that happen. Some times where we have had faith for things and they haven't come to pass. And so sort of as a way of protecting ourselves, we shy back, we step back from sort of asking those questions again, of believing God again, having faith again, because it's got risk attached to it. I know it's got risk attached to it, but I'm convinced that it's important for us to do, right? Because if we don't, if we stay in that place of just being a bit complacent about things, our church life, interactions, our general faith journey with God, our relationships with God, they can, you know, can turn into a social club. And, you know, here at Coast Vineyard, yes, connecting with one another, community, is of incredibly high value to us. But we are a community on a mission. We are wanting and desiring to see life change in the people that we interact with, in the community around us. We are a community on a mission, and that means we need to be a people, a person on a mission. What do you have faith for this year? What, you know, like something within your own personal world, maybe something relationally, a really important relationship that you want to see restored in some way. Maybe it's to do with your study or your career or your business, something that you are believing God for. You know, I'm not talking about blind faith or hyper faith. I'm just talking about listening for the nudge of God, His invitation to you. What is it in your world at the moment or coming up this year that He actually wants you, desires for you to step out into and actually believe Him for? The King of Kings. What do you have faith for? Maybe something in your children's lives that you want to see breakthrough for them in a particular area. Maybe healing or restoration personally in some way. Maybe freedom from an addiction or a destructive habit that's crept its way into your life. Maybe it's for God to use you in a particular way. Maybe it's for that friend or that family member to discover God for themselves for the first time. There's umpteen different things, right? What do you have faith for this year? It's a simple question. It's an important question, though. And as we look at Scripture, you know, there's lots of different places that we can go to, right? For inspiration, for instruction about, you know, about this whole faith thing, right? Throughout the Bible, both within the Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus in the New Testament, you know, He often challenges people about their faith, but He kind of does it in a way that it doesn't seem unattainable, right? You know, you've got those stories like in Matthew 17 where He talks about faith the size of a mustard seed. You read it and you're like, I could do that. I don't have faith the size of a jumbo jet, but I could cope with faith the size of a mustard seed. Matthew 17, verse 20. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. There's a story in Mark 9 that I totally relate to, where this boy is brought to Jesus possessed with an evil spirit. The disciples, they had tried to heal him but hadn't been successful. And so the father is desperately coming to Jesus and asking for help, right? He explains the situation and then says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me with my unbelief. I do believe. It's not that I don't believe anything, but help me. Maybe you're here and you're like, I do believe. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in your saving power. I believe in your love for humanity and for me. I believe in general terms that you can heal the sick. I believe in general terms that you can restore people. But just help me with my unbelief to bridge that gap personally so that that particular situation, I may be able to step into that place of faith. Help me with my unbelief. What a great prayer to include within your daily rhythm. One of the most famous chapters on faith in the Bible, in Hebrews 11. You know, I know that many of us will, but not all of us will know and be familiar with this epic summary of faithful men and women who believed in faith that are found in this chapter. And I won't be able to, you know, read much of the chapter to you, but I just want to do the bookends of it, all right? Just the first little part of this section of text and the last little part. Hebrews 11 verse 1. It starts off by saying, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Or in the Message version of the Bible, it puts those same verses this way. It says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. Firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. We could camp out in this for a while, but I won't. But you know, many of us in the room will know that reality. You know, when we step out in faith, there is this life that comes. You know, when we discover God for ourselves, you know, that first time where we come back to God, there is a life that comes. Suddenly kind of things do. There is this clarity to life that comes and you're like, life is from you, God. Everything that makes life worth living. We step out in a particular situation and we believe God for it. There is an edge that comes, isn't there? You know? It's like that classic summer plunge, you know, down at the wharf, Aotearoa, or off some rocks, jumping out into the water. You know, that moment of sort of, you know, nervous anticipation, then you jump, the exhilaration that comes. I can see some blank faces. Maybe you need to just go and do that. Anyway, the chapter in Hebrews then goes on and gives this epic summary, right, of biblical heroes who've trusted in God. In fact, 21 times in the chapter, it says, by faith, such and such happened. Talks about people like Abel, Enoch, Abraham and Sarah, who by faith left what they knew because of a nudge from God. Isaac, Jacob, Esau, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, and others that are... It's a great read. If you haven't read the chapter for a while, go and read it. It talks about the amazing and often costly stands that these people made because of their faith in something particular. Yet, who didn't see the full picture of their faithfulness, which is important to remember. And then at the start of the next chapter in Hebrews 12, this other bookend, you know, this before it moves on in the text, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, talking about the people of great faith that they've just listed off in this previous chapter, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that's so easily entangled, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. By faith, run with perseverance. So what do you have faith for this year? You have faith for this year, maybe something in your personal world, maybe something for us as a church or our community, something of the kingdom of God breaking in some way. And I'd actually really like to encourage you, either we might get a moment today or later on today or tonight or whatever, to actually write it down. You know, make some notes on your phone or in a journal or whatever. Lord, just what are those nudges? What is it that you want me to be believing for and pressing into this year? What do we have faith for? I know that this can be tricky. I know that, you know, you go through those disappointments and setbacks, but I just sense this gentle invitation of God for many of us here to believe again, to have faith again. I remember when we were early married, we got one of those nudges and we felt like we should buy our first house. And so, long story short, we looked and we found this place that we liked. And we needed to know that this was from God. And so we prayed together as we'd been doing in the journey of it. And Rach and I sort of got this sense of a figure that we wouldn't go above. And so we presented that figure to the agent in this house. And we got really close, but not quite close enough. And the agent, we remember, like, just thought we were crazy. You know, it's like the gap, I think at that point it was like a 5,000 gap. You know, you're talking big numbers. So she's like, what are you doing? You know, like, it's such a small, why wouldn't you? And it's like, we didn't say we felt like from God, but we said, look, we just got this figure, we won't go above it, sorry. And we walked away and we were a bit disappointed about it, as you are. And it's like, okay, well, let's carry on. And so a few weeks later, I came across this place. I can't remember exactly how it happened, but I got into the house before their first open home and went through the place. And straight away afterwards, I rung Rach and I was like, this is a goodie. I think this is, you know, I think we should put an offer on this. And a very trusting wife. So, okay. So we did. And so straight away, we went back to them, put this offer in. Step before that, we did the same thing. But the funny thing was that it was the same agent that we'd dealt with from a few weeks earlier. And so she knew how we would operate. And so we did what we did before. We went away and we prayed and we asked God for, you know, we needed to know it was from God, because what we knew was that in a few months' time, just 2 or 3 months' time, we were both going to be stopping our full-time work and we were going to be stepping in and studying and doing an internship through the church that we were a part of, both of us. And so we knew that our income was going to be dramatically, you know, slashed. But we needed to know that this was of God so that we could trust in him for the journey ahead, right? And so anyway, so we got this figure back and forth again with the same agent, got close again with the same agent, and it was like, oh, sorry, no. And I remember I was just sort of sitting at the cafe just close to where the place was, and putting down the phone, and Rachel's like, oh, you know, gutting. But why don't we just, let's just pray. Why don't we, so we prayed, and we just said, God, like, if this is of you, then just open the door for a miracle here, you know, just something like the agent slashing her fees so that we could have the place, you know. Remember, this is before the very first open home. It's a seller's market. It's a very Rach still hadn't seen it. It's a really competitive market. There's going to be lots of interest in the home. And about a few minutes later, she rung back and she said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but if I cut my fees back a bit, could we meet, you know? And we're like, yeah. And I could tell you story after story with that, you know, with that place of how the hand of God had just provided for us time and time and time again. All just with a little nudge from God, you know, that started this by faith journey. And I'd love to tell you that every time that I've had faith for something, or that the people around me that have had faith for something, they've seen it come to pass. I'd love to tell you that, but it wouldn't be true. There is a mystery to this. There is a journey to this, and I don't pretend to understand all of the ins and outs of how God works in this area, but I've seen enough of those by faith journeys in my own life and in other people's lives to know that there is something about stepping out and believing in faith. What do you have faith for this year? Ted Kim, as we were at conference last year, he was talking about something similar, and he said, the size of your ask reflects the size of your God. The size of your ask reflects the size of your God. What have you got faith for this year? So all I want to do this morning is just to create a little bit of space where you can just still your heart and listen for that nudge of God. What might be his invitation for you personally to have faith for this year? And like I said earlier on, if you want to write it down even in this moment, you know, on your phone, or if you've got pen and paper with you or whatever, then that's fine. But let's just invite the Spirit of God, because if we do this as a people, as a community, there is a beautiful edge that comes to us, a life that comes to us. So, why don't you just get yourself comfortable for a second? I'll give you a couple of moments. Lord, we just invite your presence. We ask for you to nudge us. What is it that you're inviting us to have faith for again? Or faith for anew this year, Lord. So, Father, we commit these things, Lord, that you've, you know, put within our hearts right now, or over this previous season, or that we've been thinking about, or God, these areas in our lives that we sense that you're inviting us to have faith for. God, whether we feel like we have faith, large or tiny, we take a step to say, Lord, come by faith. Would you act on our behalf in this particular area? Would you do what only you can do? And let us be a people, Father, that doesn't just walk forward in our own strength, in our own ways, in our own understanding, but walks forward in faith, knowing that you are a loving and good and kind and gracious and merciful and powerful God who loves to walk with his kids and open their eyes about what's possible. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, thanks so much for joining us for today's message. We hope and pray that it's been most helpful. If you are keen to find out a little bit more about us as a church whānau, or you'd like to touch base, then you can go to coast.org.nz, and there you'll find information about our in-person services, online services, various resources and activities. Enjoy the day and be blessed.